Hello, friends. This is the second hour of Out of This World Radio International with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington, 1150 a.m. We will have only the best psychics and astrologers and others in the world on our program, and I guarantee it will be the most interesting radio program you've ever listened to, as you will hear information here that you will simply not hear elsewhere. We were discussing during the last hour, during the of the program, on chemtrails, and I wanted to bring back Scott Lemriel, who had some additional comments on the chemtrail program. He'll be here momentarily. I just arrived back late last night from a UFO, wonderful UFO conference in Norway and Switzerland. And let's see. Scott, are you there? Hello, Scott, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, great. Scott, we were talking last hour during about the chemtrail program, and I think you wanted to make one last comment on that.
Yeah, I think both guests did a wonderful job. I didn't hear all the program before I was brought on, so I wasn't sure who the guests were. One was a woman, Teresa, and the other one was Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a great job, and I wanted to compliment them on their courage to come forward. That's one thing I wanted to say.
Sure.
What I didn't get to say and would like to add now, because I didn't want to take up their time, was simply this. The influences we have on this planet right now that have brought about our technology after World War II came from extraterrestrial sources. That's in a very classified system. And probably the people that started down this road after World War II had good intentions for starting it, but it's gotten way beyond that now. And the other thing I wanted to say was, although we've gotten a lot of this technology from a race that does not really respecters of human beings in that sense, there are a great organization of world systems out there that are in the process. They've already made the decision to transform this planet, which means the people who are being misdirected right now, being miscontrolled right now, that's going to be benevolently neutralized, and that process is underway. So no one's going to be harmed, but the people who don't know what they're doing right now, they're doing this kind of thing, are going to be woken up, let's put it that way. Because if that's the only way you're going to solve this problem, masses of people on Earth, most of which don't live in the U.S., masses in India and China are not going to rise up or be able to rise up in time to change this negative direction. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to get help from friends from out of town, and there are a vast amount of them, and that's underway. So I don't ask people to take my word for it, but I think they're going to see some remarkable things in the next couple of years.
Wonderful, Scott. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. I wanted to leave the last hour on a positive note, and that certainly gives us some good positive things to think about for the future.
You're welcome.
And I thank you. Thank you, Scott. Take care. We will call you back in about 20 minutes on some other things.
No problem.
Okay. Machiko, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hi,
Ted.
Hi. Welcome to the program, Machiko.
Well, thank you.
Go ahead.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. For my many listeners around the world, Machiko Hayashi is now the head of the Emono Peace Project. Dr. Masaru Emoto passed away, unfortunately. Was it yesterday or was it today? It's hard to
remember. Yes, it was yesterday. Yesterday, midnight.
Midnight, yes.
It was 12:50 at night on the 17th of October.
All right. Well, I just wanted to convey our condolences for his passing. He was a wonderful man. His Emoto Peace Project, of course, is based on the love, on the law of love and gratitude, for instilling in young people, children from the ages of 3 to 12, the value and the virtues of sending love and gratitude around the world. And the hope, I think, of Dr. Emoto was that in 20 years' time, when these young children would be young adults, that instead of warring and fighting with each other, they would truly make this place a better planet by simply learning to love each other and get along better on this planet. Because I agree totally with Dr. Emoto and the goals of the Emoto Peace Project, that we are all children of God and that we're all here to get along. And there's no reason to be fighting all the time, absolutely no reason. So I wanted to bring you on today, Machiko, and just give you a little time to talk about Dr. Emoto and the great things he did, and how you and the Emoto Peace Project will certainly be continuing his work in the coming years.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. It was so sudden, and of course, everybody was really sad, and I received so many messages And I'm so grateful that he gave us all the beautiful friends around the world so that we can go on with this beautiful peace project. And I know that people in Europe and in Latin America and in the United States have been contacting me since yesterday, and they will cooperate with us to spread this message from water children's book in their own countries. And well, that's something that Dr. Emoto has left, and it's an assignment for just not for me, but for all of us to do it and rapidly. And he was a very pure and sincere person. A lot of times it was hard for him because of what he, because of the findings that he made. A lot of scientists and mass medias were very hard on him, and he had difficulties, but still he was always very positive. He was always happy meeting people, walking to anywhere he was asked to come and to teach, to talk about water and the importance of love and gratitude. And what he said was, we need it. The only thing we need is love and gratitude, because that's the immune system. As long as we have this, both feelings, just having one love is not enough, but we have to have feeling of gratitude. And that's what makes everything perfect. And that gives us the immunity system even higher. And it'll go on always. The peaceful world will be created. So that's a very simple thing that he was saying. And also, it's very interesting, because when the water is very, has a very positive information, and if it's very beautiful, clean, natural water, then the crystal of such water forms hexagonal, beautiful crystal. And the information is negative, it doesn't even make any crystal in the water. And because water is the media, or through water, all the information is carried on. We as 70% water as human being, and also the earth is 70% water, it affects our own health as well as the environment and the health of this planet Earth. So if we are pure-hearted and with love and gratitude to yourself, or also to whatever you see, whatever you have, whatever you, whoever you're with, they will be resonating with you as long as you want to, and it'll make all your surroundings healthy environment.
I want to, I hope you don't mind me interrupting, Machiko, but
sure.
Dr. Emoto was on my show on July 25th. I'll never forget that day. At about 3:30 p.m. Seattle time, in the middle of the interview, I asked him whether his same techniques for water intention experiments would also work for world peace, and he said, oh yes, it does work. So at that point, I asked that everyone around the world listening to my show to please spend a few minutes sending peace and love and light to the Palestinians and to the Israelis in the Gaza Strip area, for them to at least a ceasefire for a short time so they could get the wounded out and deliver medical supplies and food. Well, that was about 3:30 p.m. Seattle time that afternoon, and at 8:30, I turned on the television that night, and then CNN was just announcing that the Israelis and the Palestinians had announced a 12-hour spontaneous ceasefire, and just out of the blue, and I knew I knew it worked. I knew it worked.
I remember that too. Yes, our the intention is really strong, powerful, and if it becomes a collective intention, it's mm-hmm. even more powerful, and it can do just anything. Mm-hmm. And it was it's so interesting because 2 days before Dr. Emoto passed, mm-hmm. All of a sudden I looked up, thinking of him, and just praying to the sky that he would become better mm-hmm. soon. And I was saying in my heart, I was saying, looking at the sky, the clouds, and I said, well, I love you so much, Dr. Emoto, and I want you to become well soon. Mm-hmm. And here's the heart cloud that I'm making for you. Then I started to just concentrate on the cloud. Mm-hmm. And I made a heart cloud for him there at that moment.
How nice.
Yeah, so that really tells you that intention really works. You can't see that. It's just that we cannot see it. It's something that you can, it's not visible, but it's there. It's just like
love, for example. Love is here.
Yeah.
Air is here. Mm-hmm. There's a singer here in the United States called Judy Collins, and back in the 70s or 80s, she came out with a song that said that about electricity. And it's the same thing with love. It's just, it's there, but you can't see it. It doesn't mm-hmm. mean it doesn't exist.
Exactly. It's like a radio tune. When we are tuned in, we're here together.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, Machiko, mm-hmm. did he ever receive, like, his philosophy of love and light? I mean, it's a wonderful message. And that's why he was cared for so much deeply around the world. But for some of the darker forces around the world, do you think he was viewed as a threat to them?
I think so, because whoever studies water, and because water carries such an any kind of information that mm-hmm. that can even heal or cure diseases also, mm-hmm. and Dr. Emoto has done it, has cured tens of thousands of people before as a doctor, alternative doctor.
Wow, amazing. That's just amazing.
With water.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So any pharmaceutical companies or scientists do not want to have this information because they will lose their profession.
Sure.
Their occupation.
Sure.
Or business. Sure.
Well, I have to tell you a quick story. I'm having this Galactic Wisdom Conference next month here in outside mm-hmm. Seattle, and you're invited, of mm-hmm. course, Machiko. And
thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And I wanted to tell a little bit about the conference. The conference website is www.galacticwisdomconference.com. And on Saturday, November 22nd, you'll be giving a talk. We've scheduled you from 11 to 12:30 p.m., on creating the world we want, along with the lessons from Dr. Emoto's wonderful research. And I think, yeah, so we've got you scheduled for that day.
Wow, okay.
We've got you scheduled.
On the
22nd Saturday, so.
22nd, okay, Saturday, all right. Mm-hmm, I didn't know that until now.
Well, we just did the schedule, so I've scheduled you in, so.
Wow, okay.
Anyway.
I'm happy to give this presentation on behalf of Dr. Emoto.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can do as well as he does, but we'll do the best I can.
Well, actually, I'm also a psychic, and I'm picking it up right now. He's with us right now, and he said that's just fine. He said that's just fine.
Well, I'm sure that as a light, he's a light now, so he's going everywhere.
Right.
He loves traveling. He goes to talk, and he really had so much he wanted to say,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
And I guess the only thing that I wished he could have lived a little longer is because I personally wanted to hear more from him and learn more from
mm-hmm.
him,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
he was always so intuitive, and what he was always saying that I am my information, the information I have, I'm an ordinary person, a man, mm-hmm. but the I am so intuitive, and the information I have, information that is brought to me is always advanced.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So people can't sometimes catch up with me, and that's why he was sometimes frustrated. But now, well, at the time, about 20 years ago, well, even 10 years ago, so many people were saying that, the scientists were saying that water carries information, and they were laughing, and they were just making fool out of him. But he was saying that, look at these water crystals.
Mm-hmm.
What water is showing you and telling you, and how can you deny that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and the scientists want you to do the double blind test always,
right,
to prove it. And well, the institute of Dr. Emoto is a private, very small institute, and mm-hmm. with the financial problem, he could not do as much as he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And but as about the blind test that scientists wanted him to do and prove, was about that he was saying that all human beings, or none of us, have this exactly same face. And how can you prove that human beings are all human beings without having two different, everything is so different.
Mm-hmm.
None of them is exactly the same.
That's true. That's true.
And that shows that you cannot have the exactly same water crystal,
mm-hmm.
even though you do the blind test. A human being, we are just showing that we are not even one person. Even twins are exactly the same.
Right, right. Well, I think we're all sparks of the creator, certainly. And there was one paper I read of Dr. Emoto, is off the internet, where he did a blind study test of, I believe it was 2,000 people in Japan or in Los Angeles. And they sent...
Well,
go ahead. You probably know about that.
So, mm-hmm. Right. That was the day that we did conducted water conference.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a water ceremony in intention experiment between Japan and the laboratory in California.
Mm-hmm.
And we were, a whole bunch of us, about, I think there were about 400, 500 people, mm-hmm. in Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
And we sent all the good intention, saying thank you and I love you to water, and to one water. To the other water, we just ignored, didn't say anything, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Or we sent you full intention, bad mm-hmm. intention, dirty, negative intention to
sure.
the other water.
Sure.
And the scientists did the test in the laboratory in California.
Mm-hmm.
We had the result that from the water that we sent a good intention with love and gratitude made beautiful,
mm-hmm.
We made beautiful crystals from there. And the mm-hmm. laboratory showed the data that had a good result, and from the water that we sent an ugly intention, in our laboratory we made ugly water crystal. Well, it doesn't make any crystal, just ugly ones.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the laboratory in California mm-hmm. obtained a beautiful, wonderful result from the good water and ugly data from ugly water. So that just resonated.
Well, my friends around the world, isn't that amazing? Japan is, 8 to 10,000 miles away from Los Angeles. 500 people sending good intentions to a glass of water in Los Angeles changed the molecular structure of the water to these beautiful crystalline structures. And it shows that I think that love and light and gratitude are the most powerful forces in the universe. And on a larger scale, that's on the microcosm. On the macrocosm, we can create a beautiful world if we want one. If all the world's people get together, we can end all wars. We don't have to fight anymore. We can end the pollution. We can create a true paradise on Earth. And this is what was forecasted by Nostradamus way back in France in the 16th century, who
wow.
he said after the 2030s and the 2040s, that humanity on this planet would enter into a spiritual age of enlightenment. And after which, after that thousand-year period over, we would become a spacefaring race where we would venture out into the cosmos where we're destined to go. So, and I know we've got problems now. There's a lot of problems in the world. We just had an hour-long show on chemtrails here for the first hour. But I look at these things as things to be overcome. And ultimately, I think humanity, we will create a much better world.
And that's, I think so, too. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
wonderful.
Thanks. And that's why I have this program. I work so hard on it. That's why I'm having the Galactic Wisdom Conference next month. I wanted to bring you on today, Machiko, not only to remember Dr. Moda, but also to carry on his work too. Because
Thank you. Yeah, we will.
And this workshop, this Galactic Wisdom Conference next month I want this to be dedicated to Dr. Moda to carry on his wonderful work. That's what I want to do. I want to dedicate the conference to Dr. Moda and you and his wonderful work. And we have not only Machiko, you're coming on at 11 o'clock, but Scott Lemriel will be coming on. He'll be coming back on the program here in a few minutes to talk about the kinds of things he does. We will also have a lady named Susan Liberty Hall. She's coming on at 2 o'clock on Saturday. Susan is an interesting lady, Machiko. She had breast cancer, and she beat it. She got rid of it completely 5 years ago through laughter.
Wonderful.
Yeah, she got rid of it through laughter. And a Native American herbal remedy that costs less than $100 a month.
Wonderful.
And
see? Like chemical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And just herbs and the right attitude was everything to her recovery. Mm-hmm, and what was interesting is that her brother, who had a really good medical coverage insurance, he paid for traditional chemo, which cost about $400,000. Well, he died 6 months later.
And
and she didn't have hardly any money, but she was able to get the money together for these herbs, and her attitude was everything.
Mm-hmm,
now,
mm-hmm.
And I want to make a disclaimer on telling this story because I'm not prescribing this technique for anyone to feel better, but I'm just merely stating that she will be at my conference on November 22nd, Saturday, and those who are there, if you have a disease, if you're feeling lousy, if you have cancer, you may want to come and talk to her. Because from what she said, everyone who's tried her technique has had 100% success rate. After that, on Saturday, will be Lois Berman. She has her own TV and psychic radio program in the Boston area. She's famous in New England. She's an absolute wonderful psychic, and I know people will really enjoy seeing her. Plus, she'll be giving free psychic readings as part of the event. Sunday, the next day on November 23rd, there will be Gordana Bernat giving a speech on spiritual empowerment from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Now, Gordana will be live by Skype from Sweden. I actually met Gordana when I went through Copenhagen on the way to the conference in Norway. Wonderful, wonderful lady. She's a wonderful light worker. And when she steps into a room, the whole place lights up. And I have to tell you, too, that since you've been on the phone talking about Dr. Emoto, Machiko.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This studio has lit up. It's all in white light. And I know we're doing something right today, friends. This whole place is lit up in beautiful
and
white
I'm
light.
I'm sure that Dr. Emoto is there and here and with all of us. So, and I'm sure that he's happy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
He's happy. He's grateful. Yeah, thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Mm-hmm. We also have Tricia McCannon. She's a famous UFO benevolent contact. She'll be giving another presentation on benevolent UFO contact and spiritual psychic guidance and lessons from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. We will also have a series of local psychics as well, including Todd Rolson, Teresa Carroll, and some other Darset Peace there as well. I don't have the full list with me, but for people interested in more information about the conference, please call me on my toll-free number at 1-888-879-8339, or simply go to the website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. From now until October 24th, we're running a special. You get 3 days of the conference, all the psychic readings you want, all the workshops. As well for only and meals on Saturday for $197, which is you can't be beat. Some of the hotels around Port Townsend charge $200 or more just for one night without meals, without any psychic readings, without any workshops. So I think it'd be a very wonderful experience for anyone interested in going. Machiko, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you so much for having me here for Dr. Emoto, and I'm sure he's really grateful for you for talking about him and remembering him all this time. And thank you so much.
Well, he's here right now, and he says that you're going to be very successful, Machiko, in carrying on his work. And this is just the beginning because...
thank you.
Yeah, and
I hope so.
Oh, absolutely. And his work will become even more important in the coming years as people realize that they are tremendous, powerful spiritual beings. We can and will make a much better difference in this planet and make it a much better place to live. And I firmly believe that this is just the start of entering a golden age for humanity. So,
well, it's an assignment for all of us, so we'll do it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you, Machiko, for coming on today, and I hope
you're
have a
welcome. Thank you.
All right.
And you have a great day. Thank you to everyone.
All righty.
Okay.
Bye, bye, Machiko.
Bye, bye.
Bye,
bye. Thank you so much.
Bye, bye. We have Scott Lemriel back on the line. Scott, are you there?
I'm here.
Wonderful.
Yeah, delightful.
Wonderful to have you back.
I was listening to her. I didn't hear all of it, but I just got on about 10 minutes ago, and I was just listening to her. She has a great spirit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, wonderful. Wonderful. And I wanted to bring you back on the show, Scott, if you don't mind, just for a few minutes. We've got you scheduled in, let's see, from 3 to 4 in the morning on Saturday? Oh, that must be a mistake. I'm sorry. No. You don't mind getting up early, do you?
No, I hang upside down from a tree like a possum.
No, it's from 9 to 10:30 in the morning. About the Save Raise Agenda and contacting benevolent ETs.
You're talking about at this conference coming up?
At the conference on Saturday, that's right.
Oh, okay.
And people will... what's special about Scott, my friends around the world, is that he's had face-to-face contact with these benevolent ETs for the last, I think, 52 or 53 years. And he's in current contact with both the Save Raise Civilization and the Galactic Alliance. So we have a direct pipeline to this benevolent, these benevolent beings who are truly here to help us. And there's nothing to be afraid of. You're completely protected. Could you tell my many listeners what kinds of things they could expect to hear at the conference if they can come?
Yeah, as far as my presentation goes, I have to say to everyone, Ted, you were at the seminar in Norway.
Yes, I was.
Delightful you were there. I get to speak as the last person on your radio show.
Mm-hmm.
The conference, I spoke on Friday for an hour and a half and another hour and a half on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do is I demonstrate a way for people, I provide a technique for people to access purposefully hidden truth on a grand cosmic multidimensional scale and the much greater expanded love within it. In other words, I don't approach things with the idea of simply lecturing people or telling them new information about races that are planning to transform this world, because that decision was made recently, about three quarters years ago. And that goes back to them having a tool to neutralize in a benevolent way tyrants off-world and tyrants behind the scenes on Earth that are no longer in control of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the important point of my message is I have a very clear view, constructive, uplifting, benevolent view of our future, but not because I really believe masses of humanity on this planet are awake enough to rise up and get rid of the lying and the deceit.
Mm-hmm.
That's because a method of control has been implemented here that doesn't allow them to do that collectively.
Mm-hmm.
However, we aren't alone in the universe, and there are many vast organizations of world systems out there that are benevolent. Most of them are. Few are tyrant. Highly technologically advanced, but they've decided to make a change in this planet's future.
Mm-hmm.
A change so profound that it means the prophesied destructive destiny for this planet has been significantly, permanently altered. And people are going to be able to see more and more evidence of this in the next few years.
Well, that's wonderful news. I'm certainly not a doom and gloomer. I know I've heard predictions of things getting worse in the future, but I just don't buy into it. I really don't.
Yeah.
I know my own guides tell me that the future is very bright. We just have to think positive, as Machiko Hayashi does with the Emoto Peace Project. Certainly, Dr. Emoto's wonderful research has shown that we are, in fact, powerful spiritual beings, and we can make a good change in the world.
Absolutely. Sure.
You know, and if nothing else, the Norman Vincent Peale's book, The Power of Positive Thinking, is appropriate today as appropriate today as when it was written decades ago. That the keeping a positive thought does have an influence on things, and even when you're having a down day, it's always good to look on the sunny side of life. Well, Scott, you were going to, there's a technique that you teach people on how to protect themselves and tie into the Galactic Alliance wisdom. Could you share that perhaps on the radio?
Sure, I do. I will share it. When it's done in person, it's more connective, but it doesn't matter. It still works if people will try it.
Okay.
They will get wonderful results. And it's an ancient vibratory word that the benevolent races outside this planet, the people are being kept from knowing about.
Mm-hmm.
Use it to keep from ever acquiring a subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
That means that for a being to use their natural developed higher function capabilities like telepathy and photographic memories, use 100% of their brain instead of 6 to 10 that we're told we use here.
Right.
Beings elsewhere use 100%. They mm-hmm. live 1,000 years. They can mm-hmm. get in and out of their bodies at will. They know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And people on Earth are being prepared to have that recovered. And the way to do that is to use a particular vibratory word which is not native to this world, was brought here and kept sacred and secret, and is being brought out now universally for all people. No one organization, spiritual or otherwise, owns or patents or controls this word or what it does.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the word HU, and it, when you sing it out or say that silently in your mind, in your imagination, it sets up a link through the pineal gland. And this is structured so that that link connects the individual, the being, to this primordial field of energy, this omnipresent field of energy that is not made up of matter, that supports all life, that runs through everything in creation, including the space.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes up into higher dimensions as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like this, when you get relaxed and think of someone or something you love
mm-hmm.
and take a few deep breaths, then you just send out in the universe and you'll feel, when this is done, that it vibrates the head, only the head upward, or the center of the brain. And you'll, it's only benevolent. When it's done, it sets up a field of protection that cannot be penetrated by any negative power or technology or being.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way people will find this out is by trying it and having the experience for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what I promote, is for them to have direct experience to validate what I share with them. And it sounds like this. You. Now, this is something that is the people have probably heard about the word Om that's been brought here from India, and Hindus, Om. That vibrates the throat and chest area, but the Hu only connects through the pineal gland and vibrates the head upwards, so it connects the being into a very much higher energy field.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that for maybe 10 to 15 minutes a night before you go to sleep, do it two or three times and then send out this proclamation, if you're willing, or some one of your own creation similar to it, out into the universe, because the words are structured in a certain way to tell creation that you want to remember and wake up to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's this statement. Safely show me purposefully hidden truth mm-hmm. on a grand cosmic multidimensional scale and the much greater expanded love within it.
Mm-hmm.
And then amazing. Do the hue. Take another breath, relax. Just look and listen. Don't try to make anything happen. And do the hue again, and everyone will notice this phenomenon when they're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
The hue and you will just know when to stop, and you'll just stop. You may hear sounds, you may see light, but you'll feel an upliftment. Then go to sleep and don't give it another thought.
Mm-hmm.
Do this for up to 30 days as an adult, and one thing I can assure you is you'll have most profound experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And once those experiences are yours, they will not be able to be taken from you.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. Hasn't the Dalai Lama said in recent months that evil as an experiment on this planet has ended?
No.
He hasn't? What
I don't know
say?
About that. I just okay. know that the Mayan shamans have stated that they know something's coming at the
okay.
end of their calendar
okay.
and the beginning of a new one on December 21st, 2012.
Right.
They never talked about it being an Armageddon.
Okay.
It's always been about a new coming energy that mm-hmm. didn't exist before. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with a transformation on the planet. They don't know what form it will take. They admit sure. that. But they say, they do know, that it will be, quote unquote, the end of evil as an experiment on Earth.
That's where I heard it. Yeah. That's where I heard it. That's where I heard it. I just wanted to mention quickly, we've had so many interesting people on the show today, and I guess I've been talking a lot, too, that I should mention that this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here in Bellevue, Washington, a suburb of Seattle in the United States, on 1150 AM. And we're talking with Scott Lemriel about his presentation at the Galactic Wisdom Conference, which will be held November 21st through the 23rd next month, just outside Seattle. For those interested in knowing more about the conference, please go to our new website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. And we recently changed the name to Galactic Wisdom Conference because it's not just a psychic conference, because it encompasses information from benevolent ETs that Scott's been in touch with, as well as spiritualists like Michiko Hayashi from the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, as well as Gordana Bernat from Sweden about self-empowerment and making this a better place to live. Also will include Tricia McCannon, a famous UFO contactee from Atlanta, and Lois Berman, a well-known Boston TV and radio personality, as well as Susan Chomsky from New York City. Susan is, Dr. Chomsky is one of the most famous people in the U.S. She specializes in chakras and auras, and especially getting in touch with your inner guide. She's excellent at that, and she will be there for not only to give a workshop, but also for one-on-one consultations with people for free for those who attend. sorry, friends. I know this is jet lag from flying and traveling a lot, but that's okay. Scott, we've got about 15 minutes left. Are there anything you'd like to talk about to my listeners around the world?
Yeah. I see you've picked up a little bug there on your flight from Switzerland back
yeah,
here.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, you'll be okay. It's yeah. the EMF that the jet lag people talk about is really created by the powerful vortex created by jet engines. The electromagnetic frequency is what causes the jet lag in people more than traveling around the planet.
Mm-hmm.
If that's of any help to people, I wanted to throw that in there. I know I experienced it myself, mm-hmm. to and from Norway for mm-hmm. this conference we were just both at.
Sure.
I would say how I found out about what's being arranged mm-hmm. to help people on this planet out, hidden leaders, elected leaders, extraterrestrial races, off-world who are tyrant, that are not in control of what they're doing, goes back in galactic history a long ways, 500,000 years. And the treaty they have about this planet between them that came about at the end of a war that finally was done with 500,000 years ago. It goes back a long ways. Hmm. People on other worlds know about this history, and people on Earth should know about this history. After all, they live on a planet in a solar system in a universe, and they should be aware of who they are and what their surroundings are hmm. and where they're headed. Now, normal human beings on another planet are aware of this.
Sure. Sure,
which is to say that people on Earth are not yet, awakened to what their true native awareness and capabilities are.
But I think
that has been kind of shut down in them.
Well, I think your purpose in coming on my show, and certainly your work and this radio program in general, Scott, is to help people raise their awareness, as well as the Galactic Wisdom Conference we're having next month.
That's exactly right.
You know,
the only reason I do what I do is, well, I had the fortunate opportunity to meet an ambassador from another race, a very tall human. I won't even get into that, I don't think. But they recently went through their own consciousness change out there.
Sure.
Mm. A very old race mm-hmm. that really was responsible for bringing into existence humans, humanoid beings, other races, tall and short grays, reptilians, all the things people have heard about, who are in the extraterrestrial UFO exploration and uncovering system. Mm-hmm. They're trying mm-hmm. to get this all woken up in mm-hmm. people.
Mm-hmm.
These races exist out there, and they have for millions of years. Human beings, this is a shocker for most people to hear it for the first time, and it was for me when I first was told it, but then I got to see it in the records themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Human beings never evolved on this planet.
Mm.
Not any race that's here evolved here originally. They were brought here
and
over
I think,
a
I had a lady on here months ago, Patricia Corey. She's an advocate for whales and dolphins. Wonderful, wonderful lady.
Yeah,
and
remember.
And she had written about how whales and dolphins weren't from this planet either. That I think they were brought from Sirius A or B. I can't remember.
Right. Yeah. No, they're not.
Yeah. They were brought here from somewhere else. Before we go much further, I just wanted to mention, since both of us were in Norway last week, perhaps you'd like to talk a little bit about the conference. I know I enjoyed it, Scott, and I'm sure you did too, my friend.
It was a bit beyond enjoyment. I knew when I was going there, it was going to be unique among all conferences that have ever happened.
Oh absolutely. Absolutely.
Because it was involved people that are either extraterrestrial who are on the planet.
Right.
Or were brought here as children raised by adopted parents.
Right.
Or people that have had direct contact all their lives. And this was unique because there weren't UFO researchers there
right.
at this particular conference. There were a number of wonderful people, Omnic Onik, Luis May Stearns from Bolivia. Another gentleman, I don't remember his name because he was on a Skype conference I didn't attend. He's from, I think, Peru.
Oh, I remember him. He was from Peru. He was from Peru. Well,
and Jerry Wills and, let's see, who else was there? Wonderful, Helena.
Helena Hortstein, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, uh-huh. I wanted to tell everyone that Helena Hortstein will be on my show, in about 2 weeks. I'd have to look at the schedule. I think Jerry Wills will be coming on as well. He said he was brought at 1 year old from Seta Tau, is that right?
Yeah, right.
Star system? And to my many friends...
Adopted, yes, and raised by special parents, yeah.
Right, by special parents. And if you were to stand next to him...
He's 6'9", he's quite tall.
He's 6'9". We were at breakfast last week at the hotel in Bergen, Norway, and I stood next to him and I asked him a question. Suddenly I realized at eye level I was looking at his shoulder, and I had to put my head way up, right. And I said, Jerry, you're a tall guy.
Yeah, yeah. You have to deal with all the little people.
Yeah, but... He's got a heart of gold, and
we
met some wonderful people. And also, too, as far as wonderful people go, I want to thank the gentleman in the Copenhagen train station. I don't know if he's listening or not. I gave him his card, but I was walking across the train station. I'd had the day in Copenhagen after I met Gordana Burnett. Wonderful, wonderful lady. Had a wonderful time. And my debit card, my credit card, had fallen out of my wallet. I didn't even know it. And this young man comes running up to me. He says, sir, here's your card back. And I looked at him. I said,
"Isn't that something?"
Isn't that? I said to myself, "How nice!" And even on the trip when I left Seattle, I left a little bit late from home. To make a long story short, and I got to my trip from Seattle to Newark, New Jersey, with 15 seconds to spare. I just hopped on the plane and they shut the door. So, I think I checked in about 20-25 minutes before the flight left, but it was a series of synchronicities that worked out well.
Well, back to this, we had a lot of synchronicities that happened thing.
Yeah, and I felt completely protected too. I never felt for 1 minute we were in any harm or danger. People were so nice.
There was which goes back to that conference. I'd arranged with some friends from out of town to put a protective shield over that conference.
Oh, how nice.
That shield is such a nature, if you want to call it technology,
mm-hmm.
that there isn't any negative force off-world or on-world that could have had anything to do with altering that conference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everyone that came there and was sent and went home took with them a certain protection.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's something that's being introduced to the planet with help from friends from out of town. It's going to be introduced more and more for people who want to explore and cover purposefully hidden truth on a large scale.
Sure.
And here's the thing. A normal human being, when they get this subconscious mind thing sorted out, starts to wake up to what they have already developed long ago that has been shut down genetically and also through an implantation process, which is meant to control people, to keep them from finding the deeper core of their being, because they get terrified, but they don't see or hear what's terrifying them.
Sure, sure.
They feel it. So that's part of the thing that needs to be neutralized in a benevolent, kind way.
Sure.
In order to have this world go into a new direction, and then we'll get all the help we need from friends from out of town, from extraterrestrials, to straighten out our biology, diseases, longevity, memory, out-of-body ability, and all these things that they deal with on a daily basis and consider normal.
Do you think
this protection? teaching was really there. And a lot of the people came up after my second presentation on Sunday, all these attendees, and told me that they actually experienced this protection. They knew it. Something had woken up in them. So that was a wonderful thing to experience and watch.
We also had we had another gentleman by Skype from the United States named Charles Hall. For those who don't know Charles Hall, he is a former U.S. Air Force officer, or not officer, enlisted, I'm not sure. But he used to work with the gray aliens that our government's contracted with.
Tall whites. Yeah.
Okay. What did you think of his presentation, Scott?
Well, I think Charles is brave. I think he's courageous. He's been given permission because they purposely never classified him. They let him carefully associate with a race that's out at Area 53 that our government supplies the base for and supplies the technology. We build parts for their ships. Right. Our own scientists and generals are not allowed to look at their ships when they're servicing them. That's technology they don't want to give us. Right. And he talks about his experience. He met three races in what they would allow him to meet was the tall whites, the short, the little grays people have heard about, and a Nordic race or a human race with 24 teeth called the Nordics. Those were the three races he met, and he was purposely not classified, as I understand it, on the insistence of the tall white generals. They wanted him to talk about them, so they insisted that he be allowed to do that, and then our generals told him that he could do that as long as anybody would listen. But now he's working in the defense in some kind of industry where he's highly classified, so he was not allowed to come overseas, but he was allowed to Skype. So I think, you know, he's by putting out this information, people are beginning to become aware of at least three other races, but there are many, many, many more.
I want to footnote what you said, Scott, quickly. For my many listeners around the world, normally human teeth have what, 32 teeth?
Yeah, that's what I understand.
32 teeth. But there's a Nordic race of humans. They look just like us from another planet who've come here to emigrate because the conditions here on this planet are better. And they have only 24 teeth. And so at the conference, I met several people who had, in fact, they had either 24 or 26 teeth or 28.
Yeah, I met a woman with 25.
25, right.
Yeah.
And for those dentists out there are interested in the issue, it was just absolutely fascinating because they look just like us, but they had the fewer teeth. And what happens is that I don't think they have wisdom teeth. They grow back their teeth like baby teeth. They just it grows back. But in every other way, they look absolutely human.
No, you wouldn't be able to tell.
No, you wouldn't be able to tell. So I've got actually my program on 1 week from today. We'll be interviewing some of these folks. It's called the Nordics with 24 teeth, as well as Emma Hansen from Trondheim, Norway, who's been a contactee of the Dromedans and the White Brotherhood for many years.
Yeah.
I thought that was absolutely fascinating.
Well, Charles talked about, I wanted to mention this, Charles talked about the Nordics as having the least advanced technology amongst the three races he met. The tall whites are, well, let's just say I wouldn't want to meet them or really associate with them myself. They scared the hell out of Charles when he was out there in the desert and allowed to visit them. And I won't get into that. That's his bag. That's his presentation to talk about that. So it was basically... that race, from my experience, has got to be one of the youngest spacefaring races out there because the humans and others I know out there are far more advanced than what people heard of the reptilian race, the tall grays, the short grays. They're far more advanced. But that's not who our government made a treaty with.
That's true.
Because they wouldn't give us in technology unless we got rid of our nuclear weapons and radioactive materials. They're outlawed outside of this planet. It basically means that the direction this whole hidden complex, military-industrial complex is heading has a short lifespan because they're trying to go out in space by covering everything up and deceiving and lying to people. And space out there beyond our solar system and even in places in our solar system is already occupied, so they're not going to plant their flag out there and take their weapons out there very far. It's just not going to happen.
Absolutely. Well, next week, as I said, a week from today, we'll be interviewing people that look human. They are human, but they're not from this planet, which I find just incredibly interesting.
Were those people? people you met at the conference, Ted?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay,
yeah, those are the folks I met at the conference.
And, oh, that'll be interesting.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they'll be coming on the show, particularly Emma Hansen from Trondheim, Norway. She's been in regular contact with the Andromedans. Now, one thing you mentioned about the tall whites, are they in fact a clone species that's part of the reptilian group?
No, I don't think they're a clone species.
No?
The grays is another issue, but
okay.
They also go through a life cycle. From what Charles has mentioned,
mm-hmm.
I don't have association with them, but that's intentional.
Sure.
He has had by, you know, you'll have to, you know, get into what he's doing in order to understand what terror he went through in order to be peaceful around them and to work with them. And they liked him because he was extremely respectful.
Right.
And almost obedient in a way.
Sure.
But they grow through three growth cycles, and Charles talks about this. From being short, a couple hundred years old,
right? Uh-huh.
About 7 feet tall, maybe mm-hmm. 500, 600 years old, to mm-hmm. very tall, to 9 feet. Mm-hmm. And they're like, when they get to be that age, they are very frail because their internal organs do not grow with the size of their body.
Mm-hmm.
But listen to this. If you are working with a group that lives 800 years, how are human beings that have been shut down to live only 100 going to compete with that?
Oh, impossible. Yeah.
You can't.
You just can't do it, right?
And that's just one race, so it's a good thing that we're not alone out there in the universe amongst the majority of them that I know of, more than 450 million plus worlds in just one quarter of our galaxy,
sure.
are very benevolent. They work together in a multidimensional or a interdimensional mm-hmm. collection of world systems
mm-hmm.
that involve parallel dimensions in the physical universe as well as the physical universe we see, say, through the Hubble telescope and that kind of thing. And they have harmonious trade.
Yeah.
Everything they do collectively is for the beneficial good of all life.
Well,
that's how we should be here.
There's a dichotomy, isn't there, between the Galactic Alliance and the Reptilians, where the Galactic Alliance is service to others based upon love, and the Reptilians are service to self based upon negativity. It's
control and power. But you got to realize something.
Sure.
Most people don't know this. They were trapped by a race that defeated them 500,000 years ago
sure.
and implanted with these terrorizing control mechanisms
sure.
to make them go out and terrorize the universe. They're not in control of what they're doing any more than the hidden government people on this planet are.
Right.
They might think they are, but they're not.
Right.
And that means that when you think about it, the kinds of mechanisms that are in place right now to keep this system closed mm-hmm. so that people mm-hmm. can't be aware of what is mm-hmm. going on behind mm-hmm. the scenes was imported here.
Sure. Scott,
from my information from the people that I work with, they're about to neutralize that. They're not going to kill anybody, harm anyone.
Scott, I just want to say real quick, we've got less than a minute left, and I want to thank my many listeners around the world for listening today. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW, 1150 AM here in the Seattle, Washington, USA area. This has been a very interesting program today with Scott Michiko Hayashi, with Dr. Teresa Anger and Scott Stevens today talking about chemtrails. I want to thank them for coming on, and thank you, Scott, for coming on as well. 1 week from today, we'll be interviewing Emma Hansen, who's a contactee from the Andromeda civilization. They're highly evolved humans that live in the Andromeda galaxy. They live up to 3,000 years old, and they are probably tens of thousands of years ahead of us spiritually. But she has some important messages to say. And I wanted to remind everyone about the Galactic Conference coming up next month. If you like, please visit our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. And Scott, thank you so much for coming on today, my friend. And I hope everyone out there has a wonderful weekend. And again, have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.